Amen. Well, before we dive into what is Psalm 27 today, let me invite you to turn to your neighbors, and say, it is good to see you today and be seen. Well, today we are going to continue, as we have been this summer, leaning into the Psalms, what are songs for the journey, these ancient prayers for ordinary days. Keeping in mind, the Psalms, again, are just that. They are prayers, and with that, they are prayers that make room for the whole of life. Right, from the rootedness of Psalm 1 to the deep ache and the real honesty of Psalm 13, the Psalm 23 reminder from last week that in all of the whatever of life, you are forever and ever alone. And today we come to Psalm 27. If you're grabbing one of those Bibles near you, page 383 will be helpful. I think it's 393. Page 393 will be helpful. We used to call those pew Bibles, but now that we're out here, they're just Bibles near you. The words will be on the screen next to me as well, and Cliff is going to come up for us and read 27, all 14 verses, and then we'll pray and see where it takes us today.
The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his sacred tent, I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, God my Savior. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not turn me over to the desire of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me and sprouting malicious accusations. I will remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord.
Let's pray. God, we thank you for these words to us this morning, this ancient prayer that continues to speak even today. And so we ask, Lord, that you would give us ears to hear, hearts to receive, and the courage to respond. Meet us here today right where we are, and lead us where you would have us go. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord is my light. And let's pause here for a moment, because similar to last week with Psalm 23, Psalm 27 today begins in much the same way. Begins not with a place, not with a struggle, not with a situation, not with a circumstance, but with a relationship. The Lord is my last week, Psalm 23, it was the Lord is my shepherd. Today, the Lord is my light. The Lord is my light. An interesting image, because I imagine light is one of those things that most of us, if not all of us, don't spend a lot of time thinking about until it's gone. The power goes out. The road grows dark. The way forward becomes unclear, unable to see what lies ahead. In the language of the psalmist, it is the wicked advancing, it is the army besieging, it is the war breaking out. In the language of today, we might say it is the uncertain future. It is the unexpected loss. It is the difficult conversation. It is the fractured relationship. It is the how long of Psalm 13. It is the valley of Psalm 23, the darkness, the danger, the fear, and yet Psalm 27, before all of that, right, the psalmist begins, "The Lord is my light. The Lord is my light." Which is to say, he is not simply naming God first, but rather choosing what receives his first attention. The Lord is my light. And stay with that image, because after the wicked, after the armies, after the fear, we read, "One thing I ask from the Lord. This only do I seek." Noticing here, because there are, I imagine, many things the psalmist could have asked. Right? Like, how about eliminate the wicked? Right? Sounds good, maybe. Right, eliminate the wicked. How about end the war? And if not that, maybe simply change the situation. And yet we read, one thing I ask, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. And so we have light, and now we have gazing toward the light, keeping our eyes turned toward the light. And then with that, to seek here is less a searching for and more orienting my attention toward, orienting our lives around. What is to say then, the Lord is my light, is to dwell, is to remain, is to gaze, is to look upon, look toward, is to seek, is to turn toward. What is to say, it is now not simply our first attention, it is now our ongoing attention. Noting that image continues, verse 7, "Hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek." Keeping in mind in the ancient Hebrew world, the face speaks of nearness, speaks of presence, speaks of relationship. It's again this idea of turning toward, or even more so, turning our lives toward, which can begin to feel a bit scary. Because before all of the darkness and the danger, before all the enemies and the armies, the deeper fear is, what if I turn toward God and God has already turned away from me? Which is why the next line, the psalmist writes, he says, "Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away. Do not reject me or forsake me." In a word, the psalmist here reaches for what I believe is the deepest human fear, the fear of rejection, the fear of being abandoned, the fear of being forgotten, the fear of being alone. And yet it's there in the midst of that, he says, he even says, "Though my father and my mother forsake me," we read, "the Lord will receive me." The Lord will receive me, not tolerate me, not put up with me, right? But receive. What means to welcome, to gather, to embrace, to draw near, the Lord will receive me. Translation, the Lord is my light. What is not to say that the valley is no more, what is not to say that the how long has now come to an end, what is not to say that the darkness has now fully lifted, but rather through it all, there is one to whom we can keep turning and know that he is one that will always be turned toward us, receiving, welcoming, gathering, embracing. And perhaps that is why the psalm then ends with, "I remain confident of this, I will see," right? "I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." Because a life turned toward the light becomes a life that begins to see. And that's maybe then what it means to wait for the Lord, right? To take heart and wait for the Lord. This is not passive. This is not somehow giving up. But it's a continuing to live turned toward the light. And so as we have these last weeks, these prayers are not simply to be studied, to be parsed out. They are to be experienced, to be entered into, to be joined with. And so I want to invite us as we do to sit for a bit of time in stillness together. The microphone is here if the Lord would lead you to share. I want to invite us to lean in and kind of ask, what is this psalm speaking to me today? And from that place, what is it that I want to speak to God? And to get at that, maybe, where do I tend to direct my attention? Right? Not only my first attention, but my ongoing attention. When I wake up in the morning, what gets my attention? When I head out the door, what gets my attention? When I feel stressed or uncertain or overwhelmed, what gets my attention? Another way the psalm seems to ask this is, toward what or whom do I turn when life begins to feel dark? Right, whatever be the valley for you, the unexpected, the uncertain, the difficult, toward what or whom do I turn when life begins to feel dark? And then no matter where that lands for you, consider, how is God inviting me to be more attentive to his presence? One possibility is to memorize just the first verse and to recite that throughout the day, maybe upon waking up, just as a way to help keep you grounded. Maybe it's just simply, "The Lord is my light." Right, a way of grounding myself in that reality, that in the midst of whatever is going on in life. And then, what might God be inviting me to see differently? Maybe it's a change of perspective. Maybe it's something that I've overlooked. What might God be inviting me to see differently? And then with that, to consider, and we'll sit for some stillness. Dan, when you're ready, when you feel led, what do I want to say to God in response today? What do I want to say to the one who is the light?